Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're just laughing in the studio. We're a bunch of giggle girls. last week, we started in Terra Rise Bible study, wishing forward 7 moments Jesus prayed. And we were actually in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to
13.
And we just were discussing in between about prayer. And I think the question that came to my mind, Tara, and the rest of us, was why did Jesus think we needed to learn how to pray as far as the disciples, and not just the disciples, but the third generation? We talked about the generation learning, and there's so many books on prayer, and how do I have intimacy in prayer? My mind wanders during prayer. Like, I can't even focus. So I was just wondering what you thought about that question.
My answer is really simple, and you're going to go,
of course.
Oh, duh. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Mm. When sin entered this world, it broke our relationship. Mm. It broke our ability to draw near to God. It broke fellowship. And as I have been praying into this particular series, it's a fellowship of prayer. We are called into a fellowship of prayer. And if you look up in the Hebrew, the actual definition for the word fellowship, the word fellowship, it implies an alliance that's like loyal and a friendship. I mean, it's really beautiful. And fellowship in the New Testament, it's, you know, the koinonia, the church, the gathering of the body of Christ. And it's that fellowship of alliance. And then when we come together in prayer, that's the drawing near to God. Well, it can only happen when we're willing to get rid of the sin. And so that's the reason why you had the next question that was like, where people would ask, well, why my prayers are never answered, my prayers are never heard, or, you know, I feel like I'm talking to the ceiling, or, you know what I mean? And the reason why the disciples had to ask is because they needed to know, we need to know how to get in to the presence of God. We will not naturally in of ourselves do that. We have built inside us, we know from Ecclesiastes 3:11, that God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. He has placed in us a longing to want to be near him, but because we choose sin, we have to be taught how to pray, because it's the process of letting go. And that's the reason why. And as we go through and we start explaining each aspect of the prayer that he provided, we will see how it is Jesus is actually teaching us the process towards holiness. Is that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the whole thing. And that's the reason why it's so stinking hard. Because quite honestly, I want what I want when I want it. And to work towards holiness hurts. It's not easy. It is not easy to have the process of holiness take place.
Right, and the enemy knows that if he can distract, or if he can make you tired, or whatever the excuse comes up, I'm too busy to pray, that intimacy isn't there, and then that void gets filled.
Exactly.
That hole gets filled with TV, or kids' sports, or husband, or children, whatever it may be for you. But it has to be purposeful. Prayer has to be purposeful. Mm-hmm. It's like you said, if you don't start your day or whatever, not everyone's a morning person, but it's nice to start in the morning. And I think even Jesus prayed in the morning.
Yes, he did.
Is that right?
He did. Okay. He did in the morning, during the day, and at night. Scripture gives us an example of him in all.
Yeah.
There is not a time of day that Jesus does not model prayer.
Pray without ceasing.
That's exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly what it is, because as you go through and you look at what he has given us, real quick, let's just break it down, and then we'll spend the next 3 weeks just talking as in-depth as we can about each aspect. It's a wishing forward, because we're taking the concept, we're using the word prosukomai, that word mean to desire, to want, to wish, to move forward. And we're looking at the 7 moments that Jesus moved forward, wished forward in prayer. And when he was teaching the disciples what to pray, the first aspect was to honor the Father, then for his kingdom, for his will. And then it goes into provision, and then forgiveness, and then a guard against temptation, which honestly with the temptation, it's really more a deliverance from evil, okay? Not so much that God's tempting us, but as is that there is an enemy that is trying to keep us.
Can you say that one more time, please?
Yeah, those items. The it's the honor of the Father, the asking for His kingdom, the praying for His will, His daily provision, the forgiveness of sins, and a guard against temptation, which is really deliverance from evil. These are the items that Jesus tells them that needs to be in our prayers. So let's start with, first off, Shelley, I'd like for you in the break, you had said something that when you were looking at this passage, what did it make you realize? You said you were reading through it and heard them ask the question, and you just realized that watching Jesus, why not?
So I guess, you know, as I'm looking at the passage, and I start thinking about, you know, our daily lives and just how we learn, you know, we're often, you know, told that our children, they don't learn because we tell them, you know, don't touch that, don't touch the stove because it's hot. But they learn because of what they see us doing, and that is the most impactful, you know, way to teach our children and the people mm-hmm. around us. And it's just, you know, the role modeling that we do for our children and the people in our lives that, you know, makes the greatest impact. And I just looked at it as, you know, like, well, Jesus is just like the biggest, bestest role model that, you know, that God gave us.
Well said. Well said. I love it. She had called it the model prayer in our break, and the Holman New Testament commentary also called it that. They said it says Jesus taught the disciples a model prayer, and this prayer that He gives them has the essence of every prayer that should be prayed. I mean, literally, it has the essence of what we need to have. And Sabrina, you should know this, and Sandy, because you've been under sitting in classes enough. First and foremost, it starts with honoring God. Hallowed, holy be thy name. Last show I had said that, you know, it's a process of holiness that's taking place. It's the process of, use the big word, sanctification, okay? And so as he is showing us how to make sanctification happen in our lives, how to become holy as He is holy. And that's the reason why it had to be taught. That's the reason why it had to be. Now, for them going out and preaching and teaching and healing, they were telling what they had seen and heard. But when it comes to having intimacy with the Father, they needed to know how to get to that process of holiness to take place. And that's the reason why prayer is so hard.
It's kind of like the Old Testament tabernacle. Because, I mean, when you were talking, that was kind of a visual I got as far as, you know, going and you have to give an offering and then you have to wash your hands, be cleansed, ask for forgiveness. In order to be in the Holy of Holies, you had to go through the steps.
Yeah.
So
it's the process. It's the process, and it teaches order. And you have to remember, God is a God of order.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when it comes to our prayers, not that He's going to ignore us,
right?
But the thing is that if I am blatant in sin and determined in a path of sin, God cannot get near that which is not holy. And so if I'm not willing to do what I need to do to get myself right before God, then I can't expect God to give what I ask of Him.
But I love it how He takes something, because we as people are like how Jesus describes us as sheep, not the smartest in the bunch. And the fact that, like, in the Old Testament, He did give order and give description, very detailed description. Okay. And then He kind of numbed it down in the New Testament, is not numbed it, but I mean, just kind of made it really simple.
Simplified.
Because our brains just, we need like a couple steps. And once it gets too difficult, we give up.
We freeze.
Well, it's like in the Old Testament, the offerings and everything. I mean, that was like, that's the big difference, right? Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, we no longer have to do that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's like, we may not have to do that piece of it for the sanctification, And I think maybe a lot of people just realize, or incorrectly assume, I should say, that, well, we don't, you know, Jesus died on the cross. We don't have to, because our sins are forgiven. And okay, so there.
Right. Yeah. And then I can just keep on sinning. But Scripture says that God gives to a man based on what he does. And he is not an impartial judge. And so based on what we have done is determined how God gives to us. And so that's where we have to ask, seek, knock, and make sure that that door, because he says the door is open. Repenting. If you ask for forgiveness, it's there. Acts 3:19 says mm-hmm. times of refreshment will come. And so recognizing it has to first begin with honor the Father. Now, a big thing that just happened culturally within our nation right now here in America is what? Whitney Houston just died.
I know.
And they said last night they are, well, this past week they had the opening session for, what was the award ceremony?
Grammys.
That they prayed. Mm-hmm. They began the Grammys with prayer. And I said, Greg, and I go, that just doesn't make sense to me. And he goes, why? And I go, because it's a culture that pretty much says God does not exist in everything mm-hmm. that they say and do. And yet here they're going to open the Grammys in prayer. And I go, who are they praying to? And I go, well, and then I kind of answered my own question, just kind of listening to me go on. And I go, who are they praying to? And I go, I guess they're just praying to who they think it's supposed to be. Well, Jesus says, and this makes me want to cry, and he says, he's holy. He's holy, holy, holy. You're not just going to some other God. You're not just going to some Buddha. You're not going to some idol or to some temple or to some man-made thing fashioned by hand. You're going to holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is set apart. There is none like him. There is no God like him. And when we get on our knees and in our heart or any position of prayer, we're going to the Holy One. Mm-hmm. And that's where it has to begin. And we have to recognize that it's the hallowed one that I am approaching. And so the intimacy that you all talked about on the first show, and that, you know, when you saw somebody that you really learned from in prayer, seeing that intimacy is recognizing that they know who the Holy One is. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus says. It has to begin with the character and holiness of God. God the Father, Holy One, I come to you. That's huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, okay, I could just stop right there.
Well, you understand who your identity is. And when you go, like when my child or my children come up and ask me something, they know my heart is for them. Mm. So even if it's a no for right now, that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. But, you know, mommy has the best interest out, you know, or the money's tight, whatever. But, I mean, God is a God that says, you know, he has everything. Mm. And when it says, when a son comes to him and says, can I have some bread? What father would give him stone? Mm-hmm. You know, and he is so loving. And when we come to him with a pure heart and pure motives, and we're praying for salvation or we're praying for healing, that's his will.
Totally.
You know? We don't know when the healing will begin, but still.
And also, you know, they they started with our Father, so it made it very personal. Mm-hmm. And it made it Father, so we know he's our Abba Father.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Sandy, I want you to repeat the first word before Father.
Our.
It's not my.
Yeah, that's something I picked up on, too. It's like,
okay, now, actually, if you take the whole passage, I was blown away as I was preparing. I was like, God, I had never, ever caught this until this week. It's our Father mm-hmm. who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us mm-hmm. our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Deliver us from evil. It's not me. It's not mine. It's not I. It's corporate. It's mm-hmm. community. It's in relationship.
It's the church. Fellowship.
And it's the fellowship of prayer. Mm-hmm. That's exactly. It's the church. And so this right here, I mean, I posted it on Facebook. I was like, oh, when I realized that, I was like, I posted it. It's like, this is huge. And I think I only had one. No. Other than my family, I did have a pastor that was like, yeah, check that off, you know. But, I mean, you guys, this is serious business. And that our prayers can be, and God forgive me, I don't mean this in a spirit of judgment, but in a way it is a admonition to the body of Christ. It is so easy to allow my personal prayer life to be so me-focused that I forget the next point, which is what he says, ask that the kingdom come. Okay, and Sabrina, earlier you said that it's an identity, that we understand who we are in him. Well, we can't understand who we are in him if we don't know him. Okay, so first it begins with knowing who our Father is.
Right.
Then it begins saying, okay, I recognize your character. I know who you are, and I'm drawing close to you because of your character and who you are. But that's not all I want, God. That's not it. I'm not stopping there. I'm not stopping just at your character. I'm saying, I want your kingdom. Mm-hmm. I don't want just your character, but I want literally your city, your country, your village, your farmland, your skyscrapers, your, you know, lodges, whatever it is that is your kingdom, to be here in my life and in the life of the people that I serve with, the body of Christ. And so it's asking for his kingdom reign to be a part of whatever it is that's going on.
And I think that I've just talked with a couple women the other day, and they just have this issue with, I don't want to ask for any more because I'm always asking for stuff, and I feel so selfish. There's people that have no food. Why should I be asking, you know, this one lady's for a husband? You know, like, God has so many other things. And I think it's like what you said. So many people don't understand who God is for themselves because they don't read their Bibles. They don't even know that he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. They don't understand that he's El Shaddai, or that he is the banner over us. I can't remember the name of it, the names of God.
Yeah.
And I just challenge people that are listening, that just to get to know him on a personal level and ask him to reveal himself to you, and he will. And I know that for each one of us in this room, he has in different ways, and he'll never come to me the same way he would to Tara or Shelley or Sandy, but he knows our hearts, because that's what he said, delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart, but delight in him first, right?
That's exactly it.
Tara taught us a great way, you know, when you were talking about they were asking all the time. She taught us to praise God instead in our prayers, and that was difficult. I mean, I hate to say that, but, you know, you get such a rote thing of like asking, and not necessarily for me, but for other people, but just to praise him for it instead of asking for it.
Within 8 hours, I got a text from Sandy. Failed.
Oops. I hadn't left the room.
You know what it was, is the Bible study Redeemed to Praise. I gave the challenge,
that.
90
we had
days.
The bracelet.
Yeah, 90 days, they were not allowed to ask God for anything. They were only allowed to give him praise. And
I had to ask you how to do that.
You do.
Because it was so out of the natural. But when you started doing it, once again, the modeling, when you started doing it within the study, then I'm like, okay, this is how it's done.
Right.
And on the flip side of that is also, as we are the church and people are watching us, how are we modeling Christ in the city, in our neighborhood, at the school, at the gym, and all that. And you know what? We are ready to go. We are over time. So thank you for listening, and we pray that you have a wonderful evening. In the name of Jesus.